He's been a blessing. He's been a servant. He's been a help to me personally, a great help to this preacher. And I'm thankful for his testimony. And his soon-to-be better half is going to be here with him here in just a couple weeks. I told him that, listen, don't be taking one of those extended honeymoons. Y'all get on back here. But nevertheless, we're thankful for him. Be praying for him. Some of you are planning on going to the wedding. That'll be great. But more than anything, pray for them as they get started and as they come back to the creek. I know God's going to use them in a great way in the months ahead. And so let's just lift them up before the Lord. But Brother Arthur, I love you, brother, and I'm so glad you're here, man.
Thank you, Pastor. Amen. Love you too. Pastor told me I have that night. Got to be back at church next Sunday morning. No, I'm just kidding. But good to see you all tonight. And thank you so much just for everybody's prayers and just your kindness. Since I've been here, since Lauren's been here, it is more than appreciated. I just wanted to let you know. And we were talking the other day when Pastor asked me if I would preach tonight. And I told him I'm going to preach on Paul's plea for singleness out of 1 Corinthians. No, I'm just kidding. And I just told Lauren during the music service that I'm going to preach on wives submitting to your husbands. But I figure it's probably neither of those would be a good idea. So in order to stay out of trouble tonight, if you have your Bible, go ahead and get it out to Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews 11. I just want to preach what the Lord has laid on my heart. Really, what something that God has been speaking to me about is the subject of living by faith. Living by faith. It's a mark of the Christian is that they live their life for God by faith. Romans 1:17 says, "The just shall live by faith." Galatians 3:11 says the same thing. "The just shall live by faith." Hebrews 10:38, just before a passage of Scripture, says, "The just shall live by faith." And as Christians who have been justified by salvation and by the blood of Jesus Christ, it is our responsibility and our great privilege to live our lives by faith. Yes, sir. And by faith in the Son of God, Christ Jesus. So Hebrews chapter number 11, and we'll read just the first verse to begin tonight. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Look at verse number 6. The Bible says as well, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us tonight. Dear Father, Lord, we need You tonight, God. Yeah. Don't need to hear anything from me, Lord. We don't need to hear any fancy illustrations or stories, God. But what we really need tonight, Lord, is to hear from You. And God, I pray that You would speak to us tonight. I pray that Your Spirit would fill us, would commune with us, would spend time with us, God, that we would be grown, that we would be edified, encouraged, and helped by Your Word tonight, God. I pray that You would speak to us, Lord. I pray that You would help me, Lord, just to declare what You've put on my heart. I pray in Christ's holy name. Amen. In 1980, the iconic phrase was called out during a hockey game, "Do you believe in miracles?" The announcer who called that out responded with a yes. It was during the 1980 Winter Olympic Games that the United States, they had a full team of amateur hockey players. They were going to the Winter Olympics playing all of these big, great teams that had professional hockey players, international hockey players that were world renowned. They knew that they were great hockey players. And here was the United States team full of amateurs. Some of them maybe had a game or two of professional experience, and that was it. And they were going up against, in one of their first games, against the Soviet Union, who was heavily favored, as their hockey team was just full of professionals and many who had a lot of international experience. The Soviets, they were heavily favored all throughout the game, and I believe it was the end of the first period, it was 2-2, and then in the second period of the hockey game, the Soviets were up 3-2, and then in the third period, the United States hockey team scored 2 goals and took the game. It was considered, I believe it was considered, let me find it right here, I have it, what it was called, the Miracle on ice. So you're nodding your heads. You maybe remember either reading about it or hearing about it in the news. It was the American team. They had just won a great game in which they were the underdogs. Now, all of us love an underdog story. We like to watch, you know, March Madness and different sports like that. And we like to vote for the team and root for the team that maybe everybody is counting them out. Everybody's saying, no way that they could do it. And you see these underdog teams win, and you see them going, the guys talking to the reporter, and they say, you know what we did? We just believed in ourselves. And oftentimes we look at maybe a world's perspective of, we just believed in ourselves. I've just believed in myself. Maybe you hear a world's perspective of, you just have to have faith. And oftentimes it's thrown out as just kind of a belief that's thrown out. You just got to hope so. You just got to will for it to happen. You know, just positive energy and positive thoughts, and you just got to have faith. But you know, when we read Hebrews 11 and we talk about the just living by faith, it is not that kind of faith. It is not that kind of hope so. It is not that kind of blind shot in the dark just saying, you know, I'm just going to do this and God just save me, whatever I'm doing. God just help me with this, and it's just a shot in the dark. But rather, faith is believing what God has said and trusting Him to fulfill His promises. As we read this whole chapter of Hebrews, as we look at the different stories, what we're going to see is that these men and women of God, God gave them a promise. They believed it. And they acted on it. And that is true faith. As we think tonight of the discussion of living by faith, we have to understand that there are things that God wants us to do in our Christian life. There are things that God wants us to do, whether in our church or whether in our community, where God has put it on our heart and God has told us, and our responsibility of living by faith is to say, okay, God, You've told me this, I believe it, and I will obey. You see, faith is not a blind shot in the dark, but instead faith is a trust in what God has said. Faith, as we see in Hebrews 11, if you look at the first verse, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the belief or trust in what God has said. It is a real existence of things hoped for. Faith is not just a conjured up fairy tale belief, but rather faith is a real, tangible hope so in what God has actually said. It says faith is a substance of things hoped for. That word hope in the Bible is not just kind of I hope so, crossing my fingers, got the lucky rabbit's foot in our pocket, but rather it is an expectance that what God has said, that will He do. Amen. So then faith, believing and trusting God in what He said, is the legitimate being of things expected to happen. Not only that, but it is the evidence of things not seen. When we look at the word evidence, we need to think of a courtroom type of conviction. We need to think of that evidence that maybe would be presented to a judge. It is enough to convince other people of facts. When we look at that word, we understand that faith is real enough to be convicted about things that maybe we do not yet see. Look, here is the emphasis of Hebrews 11 and verse number 1, is that faith is not a blind fairy tale dream, but rather faith is a real, tangible expectation that what God has said to us is true. And if I were to define faith in one sentence tonight, I would say it like this: faith is a trust in God that leads to action and obedience. As we think of this topic tonight, living by faith, as maybe we say that I'm just going to live by faith, I'm just going to make that decision to trust God tonight, it needs to be a belief in what God has said. That's not just, yes, God, I acknowledge it's true, but that leads to action and obedience. Before we get started tonight, I ask you that question: do you live by faith? Do you trust God enough that if He asked you to do anything in the world, either through His Word or through His Holy Spirit's conviction in your life, that you would respond with obedience? Do you believe God enough to obey the things that He says in His Word? Do you live by a real, tangible faith? Far too often we live by trust in ourselves. Far too often we live in the bounds of what we want to do or what we think we can do. We look at something that in God's Word and we say, I don't know if I could obey that, God. God, I don't know if I could do exactly what you're saying right here. Maybe the Holy Spirit put something on your heart in a message or in your own personal time with God. And the Holy Spirit's telling you, you need to do this. You need to live like this. And oftentimes you say, oh, God, I don't think I could personally do that, God. God, I don't really know. That is the opposite of living by faith. We make decisions, we make everyday life choices without even considering what would God have us to do? Or what has God already instructed us to do? Tonight, if you get anything out of the message, I hope that you'll get this. We must believe in God enough to obey and act upon His Word every single day in every single way. So tonight I want to look at three ways to live by faith. If you would look at verse number 6, and the first point tonight is believe God's person. Believe God's person. Verse 6, it says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe two things, that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Have you ever not trust someone because of who they are? I know we've all met those people, or maybe you had that one friend growing up that they just constantly told lies. They were constantly embellishing the truth and stretching out their stories. And maybe they would say something and say, oh yeah, I don't believe what you say. I heard people they talk about maybe their feats in sports, or you know, down here is probably the size of the fish that they caught and all of these different things, and they're telling you this story and this story and this story, and after a while, after you've been around them for a certain amount of time, you say, yeah, good story, but I don't know if I believe that's true. You know, nowadays you say, hey, do you have a picture of it? Hey, can you show me some evidence? Why? Because we don't trust that person because they're constantly stretching the truth. You know, on the opposite end, we have people that we just inherently trust no matter what. You know, I had a question this morning, just in my own personal life, I had a question. I called my dad and I asked my dad, and you know what? It didn't matter what Google said. It didn't matter what anybody else said. I trusted my dad to give me the truth. And we all have people in our lives like that, where we trust them just based on who they are. Look, when it comes to the matter of our lives and living by faith, we need to trust God, and we can trust God and His Word, not because society agrees with us, not because it makes the most sense in our own minds, not because we think we can or we believe we can, but because we can trust God because of His person. Two reasons that we can trust God or we can believe in God's person is, first of all, very simple, because He is God. It's simply who He is. Look, our God has infinite wisdom and infinite power. That means that God knows more and God can do more than we can even imagine or understand. Too often we go through our lives thinking of ourselves as the Mighty One, thinking of ourselves as the person with the strength. We live in a period of self-reliance. But we are not God. We are not the one who threw the stars and the planets in orbit. We are not the one who created the land and the sea. We are not the one who provides ourselves our every breath. That is God. In the majority, we can always trust and obey God because He is the Creator. He is the sustainer of life. Because God cannot lie. Because God is faithful and true. Because God has our best interest in mind. Because He is our Jehovah, our Savior, the one God. And that's why we can live by faith.
Yes, sir.
Because we're not just believing in a blind hope. We're not just taking a shot in the dark. Because we're trusting in the God who can be trusted.
Amen.
You have your Bible, go to Job chapter 38. Job 38. We look at a story like Job's and we see that God is working in Job's life in just a way that maybe we would never want to go through. God was allowing some trials and some testings and some temptations in Job's life. God allowed Satan to hinder Job's life in different ways. And the Bible says that Job did not sin with his mouth. But if you read the book of Job, we see that he questioned God. We see he wants an answer. He's saying, God, I don't understand this. God, I don't fully understand why I'm going through this. God, he's trying to justify himself and he's questioning God. And God tells Job who he is in chapter 38. Look at verse 1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge?" He says, "Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth?" He said, "Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut up the sea with doors when it brake forth as if it had issued out of the womb? When I made the cloud the garment thereof, the thick in darkness, a swaddling band for it, and break up for it my decreed place, and set bars and doors, and said, Hitherto shalt thou come, but no further. And here shall thy proud waves be stayed." And as you read chapter number 38 in Job, and chapter number 39, and chapter 40, we see that God is telling Job, "Who do you think you are to question the God with unlimited power?" He's saying, "Where were you when I created the world? Hey, where were you when I threw the galaxies out into the sky that you can't even see, you can't even understand?" He's saying, "Where were you when I told the ocean that it could had to stop right there and it had to be in its place?" He's saying, "Job, you have no comprehension of who I am as God." And sometimes we get in the mindset of Job where maybe we question God. Maybe we're just not sure what God is doing. And God doesn't tell Job, "Okay, Job, here's the answer." God doesn't tell Job, "Here's why I'm allowing you to go through this." But instead, God tells Job, "Look at who I am as God." And so often we read the Word of God and we hear preaching, and maybe God's telling you that you need to take a step of faith. Maybe God's telling you you need to be more obedient. Maybe God's telling you you need to adjust something in your life, whether it's witnessing, whether it's your personal devotions, whether it's a decision in your marriage or in your family, and you're kind of questioning God. Maybe God's allowing you to go through something in your life that you wouldn't wish upon anybody else. And you're looking and saying, "God, I don't understand. God, I don't get it." The answer of living by faith is not to sit there and question. The answer is to look at God and say, "I can trust Him because He is God." We can trust God because He is God. But number two, we can trust God because He is good. We can believe God not just because of His power, because of His omniscience, because of His understanding and His wisdom, but we can trust God and live by faith because He is ultimately and always good. Mark 10:18 says, "No one is good except God alone." Exodus 34:6, the Bible says, "The Lord is abundant in goodness and truth." Psalm 34:8 says, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him." Psalm 105 says, "For the Lord is good." The Bible says God cannot lie. The Bible says that all things work together for good to them that love God. The Bible says that God will not have us to be tempted or tested more than we are able. The Bible promises that God will provide, that God loves, that God is no respecter of persons, that God cares, that God is forgiving, that God is merciful. The Bible promises that God is altogether lovely and wonderful. You see, we can trust God not just because He has all power, but because like nobody else in this universe, God is good. We look at the Word of God, and we see that there is nobody like God. We don't just trust God because He has all the power and all the understanding. My friend, when God gives a command, and when God's Word says that we need to live in a certain way, and when God's Spirit tells us we need to make a certain decision, that we need to be in obedience, when God sends you through a storm and through a fire, when God asks you to take that step of faith and you don't see the answer, and you don't know how it's all going to work out, trust God because He is good. God is love. God is full of compassion. God has your best interest in mind. Sure, it may not always feel like that. Sure, we may not see the end of the plan. Sure, we may not know what God is doing. But we can look at God's Word and we can look at past experiences in our life and say that God has been good. We can live by faith, not because of the size or strength of our faith or our ability, but because of who we put our faith in. The first reason that we can live by faith, or the first way that we can live by faith, is first of all, believe God's person. Is God telling you to do something in your life tonight? Is God telling you to witness to somebody one more time that ignored you last time? Is God telling you to treat your husband or your wife a certain way and you see it clearly in His Word? Is God telling you that you need to spend more time with Him? Is God telling you maybe that you need to tithe or give to missions? Is God telling you that you need to step out and make a decision maybe to be a missionary or to be in ministry? Then don't trust God because of your ability. And don't trust God because you have enough in your bank account. Don't trust God because you believe that other person's going to respond right. Don't trust God because you think that you can have it all under control, but rather trust God because He has all the power and He has all the wisdom and because He is always good. First of all, we can trust God. We can live by faith by believing in God's person. The next reason that we can, or the way that we can live by faith, is to trust God's promises. Look at verse number 13 in Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 and verse 13. We can live by faith by trusting God's promises. Verse 13 says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had the opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city." We read the beginning of verse number 13, and you might say, "Brother Arthur, that doesn't make any sense. Trust God's promises." You read the first verse, and it says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises." But as you read these stories of different people, God still kept His promises. Some of them, maybe they didn't receive it on earth, but they received it in heaven. Some of them, maybe they didn't receive it in their lifetime, but their kids and their grandkids received it. Some of them, maybe they didn't understand or see how it would all work out when they obeyed God and they took those steps of faith, but they would see the answer after they had gone on into heaven. And friend, I want to encourage you tonight. Maybe you're living by faith. Maybe you're walking in God's will and you're doing exactly what God has told you and you haven't gotten the answer yet. And you haven't received the promises yet. God will always keep His promises. You know, there's something valuable about someone's word. We live so much of our lives out of trust in other people. And we trust people, but sometimes the issue comes up that someone doesn't keep their word. Someone doesn't keep their promises. And I remember at my parents' church, there was a person in my parents' Sunday school class. And his daughter had asked him, his daughter was about 4 or 5 years old, if she could go see a certain boys and girls choir in New York City. And of course, the dad was maybe about halfway paying attention when she asked him, and he said, "Oh yeah, sure." And then later he's at church and we all come up and say, "Hey, so when are y'all going to New York?" And this little girl had gone all throughout the church saying, "My daddy's taking me to go see this choir in New York City. My daddy's taking me to go see this choir in New York City." And the dad looked at us and he said, "I don't remember saying that." And he looked at us and honestly, he looked at that little girl and he had to explain to her that, "Look, Dad didn't mean to say yes when he told you that he was taking you to see that choir." And I remember that little girl, she went all around the room and she believed what her dad had said. Unfortunately, in that instance, her dad wasn't able to keep his promise. But you know what? We serve a God who is our Father that always keeps His promises. And it may not look like we think it's going to look. It may not be the exact answer that we put in our minds that we think God is going to answer. But God always comes through. We can trust the promises of God. I'm going to run through this chapter if you follow along with me. In verse number 4, it says that Abel's offering was accepted by God. It says, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice." And as he offered that sacrifice to God, he was blessed with heaven, although he was murdered on earth. Enoch was translated in the next few verses and it didn't have to experience death. Why? Because he pleased God. Noah and his family, they were kept safe during the flood because God kept His promise. Abraham was given an inheritance and a people because he trusted God's promises and he obeyed and he went to a land that he didn't even know where it was, but God told him to, so he obeyed. Sarah gave birth to Isaac in her old age because God kept His promise of giving them a child, even though she was in her old age and she said, God's not giving me a child. I'm far past that. God kept His promise. Isaac's seed was blessed because God kept His promise to his grandfather Abraham. Jacob was blessed with godly children who would be used to preserve the people of God because God kept His promise. Joseph had his bones buried in the promised land because he trusted God to keep His promises, and God did. Moses led the people to the promised land and was blessed because God kept His promises. The people of Israel conquered lands and fortresses and cities and entered into the promised land because God kept His promises. And story after story in the Bible, we find that God gives a command or God gives a promise and He keeps it time and time and time again. Understand, it may not look like we think it will look. I'm sure Abel went and he said, "Oh God, I'm going to sacrifice to You. I'm going to worship You and I'm going to obey You." I'm sure he didn't think he was going to get murdered by his brother. Moses went through all this wilderness, taking all these people out of Egypt and going to the promised land that God had promised him. And I'm sure in Moses' mind, all those 40 years, he was determined and he believed that God was going to allow him to set foot in the promised land. But he could only see it from afar off. I'm sure during all those years that Noah was building the ark and all the times that he was made fun of and all the times that he was mocked, even though he had never seen rain, maybe sometimes he doubted. Sometimes he said, "God, any day now. Come on, God, won't You take care of me during this time where I'm living by faith? God, won't You keep me from being mocked during this time that I'm obeying Your word?" And God kept His promise. We can live every day by faith because God keeps His promises. When you read Hebrews 11, what you see is a pattern. Each one of these people heard God's voice or God's command. You go through all these stories and then it says that time would even fail to tell of all these different things that you could, that the Hebrews 11 could tell us about when it comes to faith. But each person responded to what God had said. You want to trust God's promise? First of all, listen for Him. Have you spent time with God this past week? When Pastor was preaching this morning, were you listening? Were you paying attention? Were you engaged in what was going on? Does your Bible just sit in the car until next Sunday? Have you spent time meditating on God's Word? Each of these people had to listen for God's voice. They had to hear what God was saying and what God was instructing them to do. And if we're going to live our lives by faith, we have to be locked into the Word of God, to the commands of God, and to the obedience of what God is telling us. Far too often, we don't hear God for two reasons. One, we're not listening because either we're just too far away, or were distracted by something else. When I was growing up, my mom would always get on to me. She would tell me something, and inevitably, after maybe later on that day, she would say, "Arthur, why didn't this get done? Arthur, why didn't you obey me? Why didn't you do this?" And I look at her and say, "Mom, I had no idea you told me that." Or I say, "Mom, I forgot." And normally two things were happening. Either I was on the other side of the house and she told me and I had no idea those words ever came out of her mouth. Well, the second thing is I was occupied with something else. I was too busy focusing maybe on a game or homework or playing a game or sports or something like that, that I had no idea what was coming out of her mouth. Maybe I was hearing the voice, I was hearing the noise, but I didn't know what she was actually saying. And you know why sometimes we can't live by faith? Because we're either too far away from God to hear what He's telling us, or we're too occupied with something else to hear what He's instructing us to do. If you're too far away from God to hear what He's telling you, then friend, repent of your sin and get back to God's Word. You say, "I feel like I'm living for God, but I really don't know. I haven't been instructed anything. I sat in the service this morning, but I didn't get anything out of it. I opened up my Bible and I read about one verse and I just, you know, didn't have any direction for the day." Then maybe you're just too far away from God. Maybe there's some sin in your life that today you need to get right. Maybe there's just a lack of a relationship with God because you don't read your Bible and pray like you ought to. Maybe you aren't hearing God's instruction because you're too far from Him. Or maybe you're preoccupied with something else. You come to church, but all you're thinking about the plans for this week. You're at home and maybe you're reading the Bible, but you got your phone pulled out in the other hand. Maybe you're looking and you're trying to pray, but you're thinking of all of these other different things. And you're halfway praying, but you're also halfway planning out your day. No, don't be preoccupied when the voice of God is speaking to you. I like what the preacher said this weekend. He said that, yes, God can get our attention when He needs to. God can shout at us when He needs to. But so often God speaks to us in that still, small voice. But we can't hear that still, small voice. If we're thinking or occupied with everything else. If we're distracted. Can't hear that still, small voice if we're so far from God that it sounds like He's not even speaking to us. The first way that we trust God's promise is listening to Him. The second way is following Him. Each one of these people, they heard the voice of God. They heard God's Word, but they also had to obey. I tell you, I can't fully imagine some of the things that these people did. I mean, can you think of being in Noah's shoes and building this ark when you had never seen rain? And God's promise was that rain was going to come out of the sky and up from the ground He was going to flood the entire earth. Can't even comprehend that. Can't even understand that. But Noah said, if God said it, I'm going to believe it and I'm going to obey it. Yes. Think of Abraham. God told him to go to a land that He will show me. He's like, when are you going to tell me where it is? When you're up and you're going and you're moving, I'll let you know when you get there. And that works maybe for the kids in the car when you're driving somewhere, but it doesn't work when you're the one driving. Yeah, for Abraham. He said, okay, God, You said it. I'm going to believe it. I'm going to obey it, and I'm just going to launch out in story after story after story in Hebrews 11 and in other parts of God's Word. God gave a command. God gave something to somebody, His voice, His Word. He gave a promise, and they said, okay, God, if You said it, I'm going to believe it, but I'm not just going to believe it with my mind. I am going to act upon it. And if we're going to live by faith, we can't just be hearers of the Word. We can't just be hearers of God's Spirit, but we also have to be doers. It's not enough just to say, okay, God, I hear what You're saying tonight. That's great. It was a good message. Thanks, Pastor Dennings, as you're walking out the door and you say, that was a great message. And you go to lunch and you never take a step to do what God has told you to do. It's not enough to say, you know, I should read my Bible this week. But you don't actually obey. Sometimes it's a big step of faith. Sometimes it's simply doing the daily things that God has already instructed you to do. You have to obey. You have to follow through. When God tells us to do something, we don't need to look at the end of it. We don't need to look at the plan. We don't have to have all the instructions laid out. We don't have to have every way that it's going to work out. We don't have to see the exact finished product. What we just need to do is say, God, if You said it, oh God, then I will believe it and I will obey it. And to listen, we have to follow, but we also have to remain. In verse 13, you'll read it again. Hebrews 11 says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. They were instructed. They were told God's Word. And maybe God gave them a glimpse and they say, okay, I see it. It says they were persuaded of them. They believed. They were convinced that what God said was true. And they embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. But also we look at the beginning of that. We say they all died in faith. They didn't receive the promise that they were given. But they stayed following God. And because of these men's faith, and remaining even when it was difficult, and continuing to obey even when they didn't see the answer, and continuing to follow God even when it seemed like they should have been there already, it should have been done, God should have come through with His promise, but they continued to follow God because of their decisions to continue to remain. Trusting in God, in obeying God, they saw the blessings and they saw the promises. when they stood before the face of their Savior. Their kids and their grandkids reap the benefits of them obeying God. You see, when we read those verses, it says that they seek a country. Verse 16 says, now they desire a better country. That is an heavenly. They look not for their treasures on earth, but in heaven. Many of them were not necessarily looking for the earthly fulfillment of their trust in God. They were looking to that blessings of God in a greater country. They were not ashamed to suffer on earth because of their faith. They were not ashamed to be mocked and made fun of. They were not ashamed to be maybe at times confused and to be scared and to be not understanding of what God's plan was. But instead, they were trusting in God because they believed Him. And they remained faithful during the hard times. And because of their faith, that, okay, God didn't answer right away, but they just kept on obeying. God gave them their blessings. And we can trust God tonight. God is no doubt telling you something you need to do in your life. God is no doubt either telling you you need to start this, you need to stop this, or you need to continue. But if we're going to live by faith, even when it seems like the world is against us, even when it seems like God isn't answering yet, even when it seems a little bit confusing, we just have to remain and keep obeying God and keep following God. Because everyone in this chapter did so. They kept following God. And eventually, they received the promises. Eventually, they saw that God came through. Our timetable is not God's timetable. We want the answer right away. We want the solution right away. Okay, God, I did it. Now give me the blessings. But sometimes, God gives it to us much later on. See, God's Word right here is that we hear messages every week. You know, God's Spirit convicts our hearts, but are we listening? Are we listening for what God is telling us? Are we paying attention? Maybe we don't live by faith because we haven't heard God just speak to us in a while. Maybe we're not living by faith because, okay, we heard it, but we just don't take that first step to follow God. Maybe we just don't respond. We don't obey. We say, okay, God, that's good. Okay, God, I want to be a Christian. Okay, God, I want to follow You. God, I want to do what You're saying. But we don't make or take the steps to obey God. Sometimes it's just because we don't remain. C.H. Spurgeon said, I would sooner walk in the dark and hold hard to a promise of God than to trust in the light of the brightest day that ever dawned. We have all heard the phrase, don't doubt in the dark what God told you in the light. Believe in God and trust Him that even when you don't see the answer, even when it's dark, even when it's scary, even when you're tempted to lose faith, just keep trusting the promises of God. How do we live by faith? We keep going to church when it's hard. How do we live by faith? We keep tithing when money is tight. Keep supporting our missionaries when it's difficult. How do we live by faith? We keep loving our spouses when maybe they don't love back. Kids, you live by faith by obeying God when your parents don't obey Him. Kids and teenagers, you live by faith by obeying your parents when it doesn't make sense. We live by faith by spending time with God even when it's so busy we don't have time for much else. We live by faith by staying witnessing to someone even when they don't listen to us. By still praying for that loved one who maybe you prayed for 30 or 40 years. You live by faith by trusting that God will keep His promises. So keep obeying God's Word. Keep obeying God's leading. Because God will come through. Because we serve a God that always keeps His promises. Three ways that we live by faith is that we can trust God's person. We can trust God's promises. And lastly tonight is we can receive God's provision. Turn over in Hebrews 11, look at verse number 39. Verse number 39 starts by saying, "And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise." Talking about that earthly promise. Talking about maybe the earthly fulfillment of God's Word. But rather, verse number 40 says, "God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect." Like I said before, sometimes God's keeping of His promises is not what we think right away. We think every single little thing is going to be perfect sometimes when we obey God. But that's not always the case. Yes, God is going to keep His promises. But God's promise isn't to make everything perfect. God's promises that everything that will work out together for good, not always for fun. God's promises are that everything will work out together for good according to His promises and according to His plan, not according to how we think it should be done. You see, God promises to provide and protect, not to keep you from being opposed or bothered. God promises to see us through the other side, even when it's a bumpy way. God promises to keep His Word and to fulfill His promises and to answer to us, but it's not always when we think it will be, and sometimes it may not even be while we are on this earth. But God always gives a better thing. God always provides an answer, even when it's not the one we're looking for. Think of verse number 39, it says, "And these all having obtained a good report through faith." God's provision for you may be a testimony of grace. Well, look at how much you became like Jesus because you were obeying God's Word. Hey, look at the testimony of that person, the joy, the peace, and the calm that they had because they trusted God's promises even when it was so difficult. Nobody would have expected them to. It may be a testimony of difficulty, but of amazing grace. These verses say that they obtained a good report. I believe they received a well done, thou good and faithful servant. I believe they received joy, peace, calm, and fulfillment in their lives by following God's Word. They received a place in God's Word that tells of their living by faith. They were blessed with a testimony. When you live by faith, you will be a testimony to your kids. You will be a testimony to your family. You will be a testimony to the generations after you that you lived for God and obeyed God even when it was difficult. You'll be a testimony to the unsaved. You'll be a testimony to everyone in this church, and you will reap eternal blessings and rewards, as well as satisfaction, joy, and peace from obeying God's promises. These men were made a testimony, and they were used of God to point other people to faith in Him. It's amazing. Some of the stories as we read through them and we see the different things that people did, and we see maybe sometimes they didn't receive the answer. And I can't help but think of Moses. God told him, no, to lead the people to the promised land. He takes them all the way there, and because of his own failure, his own sin, God doesn't allow him to step foot in the promised land. He sees it afar off, and he's taken up to heaven. We say, God, you didn't keep your promise. Oh, he's in a better place than the promised land. We may say, God, Moses did all these things for you. You didn't allow him to experience the promised land. But imagine and think and just remember the testimony of Moses that we read about thousands and thousands of years later. We say, that was a man who loved and obeyed and followed God. We just have to live by faith. It may not always work like we think it will. Men always understand the answer that God gives. We may not necessarily think, wow, God's going to keep His promise the way that He does. But God always provides when we live by faith. We can trust God's provision. One morning, all the plates and the cups and the bowls on the table were empty. There was no food in the larder and no money to buy food. The children were standing and they were waiting for their morning meal when missionary George Mueller said, "Children, you know we must be in time for school." Then lifting up his hands, he prayed, "Dear Father, we thank Thee for what Thou art going to give us to eat." Then there was a knock at the door. And the baker stood there and said, "Mr. Mueller, I couldn't sleep last night. Somehow I felt that you didn't have bread for breakfast, and the Lord wanted me to send you some. So I got up at 2 a.m. and baked some fresh bread, and it brought it." Mr. Mueller thanked the baker. No sooner the baker had left when there was a second knock on the door. But this time it was the milkman. He announced that his milk cart had broken down right in front of the orphanage, and he would like to give their children his cans of fresh milk so he could empty his wagon and repair it. George Mueller is one of my favorite missionaries to read and study about. He was a missionary and he ran orphanages in Bristol, England. During the time of his preaching, he traveled over 200,000 miles preaching the Word of God. And he cared for over 120,000 orphan children through his orphanages. But the amazing thing about George Mueller is not how far he traveled or how many orphans he fed, but rather, it was that George Mueller lived by faith. See, George Mueller made a decision in his ministry that he was not going to ask any man on earth for a penny. But rather, any time there was a need, he took it to God. Any time there was a need like that bread and that milk for breakfast for these orphans, he didn't go and talk to somebody. He didn't go and knock on somebody's door and ask them for food. He didn't go and talk to all of his friends and say, "Hey, we need more money for food." But rather, he got to his knees and he prayed and he asked God to provide. And God always did. We might say, "Wow, what an amazing man of faith. Wow, what a giant in the faith. How could he do that? He must be so close to God." But simply put, George Mueller was just an ordinary man like us. But he lived by faith. George Mueller listened to what God had told him to do. He followed God's will for his life. He obeyed God. And he remained faithful even in the difficult times. We may never start orphanages or go to the mission field, but God can use you to give to missions. God can use you to support the ministry here. God can restore your marriage. God could bring that child that you have that you're praying and hoping will come back to God. God can bring that child back. Hey, your coworker, your friend, your family member that is lost and without Christ and needs salvation, God can give you more opportunities to witness. God can use you to lead others to Jesus Christ. God can use you to live by faith. Tonight we can live by faith by, number one, trusting God's person. When God tells us to do something, or when we're going through a difficult time, we can trust that God is God. He has all power, all wisdom, all might, all authority. But we can trust also that He is always good. And no matter when it seems like things aren't going according to plan, then you know what? God has your best interests in mind. If you're going to live by faith, if you're going to believe what God has said in His Word, and you're going to follow it and obey it, you can trust God's person. Not only can you trust God's person, but you can trust God's promises. Why? Because it's always going to work out like we think it is? No. But because God always keeps His promises. Maybe not while you're on this earth, but in one way or another, God will come through because He always does. And lastly, you can trust God's provision. God will give you the grace. God will give you the mercy. God will give you whatever you need to follow through with following Him when you step out by faith. Friend, as we get ready to close tonight, what does God want you to do to live by faith? I said earlier, maybe just something daily. It may just be that you need to pick up your Bible and read it tomorrow. It may be that you need to start family devotions. It may be there's somebody that you need to witness to tomorrow. It may be a way that God is asking you to serve or to step out by faith and to do something that maybe you have never done before, like go on a missions trip or serve in a certain ministry. Maybe God is just telling you tonight, "Hey, I know you're going through a difficult time, but you can trust me. I know it doesn't make sense right now. I know it doesn't seem like you're receiving the promises, but you can trust God. We started with those verses that said, the just shall live by faith. I believe the mark of Christians is that we live by faith. We don't always understand it. Doesn't always make sense, especially to those who are not Christians. But if God said it, we can believe it and we can obey it. Because our God is a good God. Let's pray tonight. Dear Father, Lord, we love You and we're thankful for Your goodness, God. We're thankful that You are a God that can be trusted. We're thankful that You're a God who keeps Your promises. Lord, whether it's like we think it will be or whether it's, Lord, in the life to come, Lord, in eternal life, God, help us just to trust You. Lord, I know that You've been working on me about living by faith. Lord, help us, Lord, to take the steps of faith that we need to. Lord, to step out in maybe a big way. Lord, maybe it's just to obey You every day. God, maybe it's just to remain faithful, even when it's difficult. I don't know what You're speaking to everyone about, Lord. But I pray that You would work in their hearts, Lord. I pray that You'd speak to them in a specific way. And that You would help them, Lord, just to step out by faith and obey You. As the piano begins to play, I don't know how...